Today, Australia's perfect housing storm. Let's talk scenarios. Hello again, this is Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, there's a lot going on relating to housing, price falls, mortgage stress, and all of that stuff. And over the next few days, we're going to do some deep dive shows as we look at the latest data from our surveys to the end of June, and also put in context some of the other discussions that are going on at the moment. It's worth saying that this is a pretty uncomfortable time for many households. And the mainstream media I've discussed recently have really gone to town with regard to the disaster that's out there in property land. Now, to make that work, what we're going to do is we're going over the next few days to look at a number of different aspects of this particular issue. The first today is looking at our scenarios and specifically asking the question, where may home prices go based on some different assumptions about what may happen to the economy? That will inform us quite nicely about what the risks are out there. In fact, that show will be followed on Sunday by my next show, which I've titled Australia's Perfect Housing Storm. Let's talk stress results. And there I'll walk through the high-level results from our latest modelling, which of course is pretty important because it gives us a really good understanding of precisely how this is correlated down to households and what households are trying to do with the problem of high costs of housing, whether it's renting or whether it's actually a mortgage holder, plus, of course, the big inflationary forces that are out there at the moment. Inflation is a real problem. Incomes are not growing in real terms, and this is putting a lot of pressure on a lot of people. And then on Tuesday of next week, we're going to do the next part of the conversation, which will be specifically talking about the postcode level analysis that we do. This gets to the really crunchy end of the discussion. Now, unfortunately, because I've got so much other work on at the moment, I'm not going to do a lot of preparation before Tuesday. But if you want to come on live on my Tuesday show, 8 p.m. Sydney, there what we're going to do is we're going to look at specific postcodes, and you can nominate a postcode during the show for us to analyze. So join us at 8 p.m. Sydney on Tuesday to go into that deep dive. And I'll show you at the end of this show one example of the sort of analysis we can do. It gets very granular, but is pretty insightful in my view. Anyway, to start the conversation today, what I wanted to do was to just pick up some of the latest news and then go from there into our scenarios. And this particular article from Shane Wright really just underscores the issues we've got. Supersized mortgages across Australia now mean that people are weighed down with significant amounts of interest payments. In fact, the interest bills are even larger than when official interest rates were almost 20%, according to new research from KPMG. In fact, through the first 3 months of this year, households paid $33.6 billion in interest on homes. That was the fourth highest quarterly amount on record, with the March quarter of 2025 being the highest. And this article goes on to highlight the fact that compared with the 17 to 18% interest rates in the 80s, well, their mortgages were lower. Okay, incomes were different, one income probably rather than two. But the result is that today the pain on households are significantly higher than previously. And then, of course, this article goes on to talk about the fact that Sydney's median house price would need to fall by 19.7% to reach the previous trough set back in December 2022. And Domain has forecast prices will fall between 3 and 7% for Sydney by the end of the 2027 financial year. And they finalised the article by saying price falls would be fuelled by higher interest rates, which would reduce the amount buyers could borrow and the demand to buy, according to Domain. Now, this is all big stuff and it's important stuff because it's really hitting a lot of households now. And the problem that I always have with these discussions is it's not just a point in time. This has been building for years and years and years. And now, well, the chickens are coming home to roost, which is why I'm saying it's a perfect storm. Now, Christopher Joy in the AFR wrote a very interesting and important opinion piece. I recommend you read the whole thing. But he makes the point that the professional politicians behave a bit like parasites, sucking the life out of private enterprise. But the bloodsuckers should be careful what they wish for, he says. The Australian housing market is getting hammered, and there are two key culprits. The first is the Albanese government's shock decision to impose one of the world's highest rates of effective capital gains tax on investment properties while banning negative gearing on established homes, among many punitive new imposts, including an unprecedented 30% tax on family trusts. And then he goes on to say, the second culprit is the Reserve Bank of Australia's embarrassing decision to reverse its politicised rate cuts last year, which has forced the cash rate back up from 3.6 to 4.35%. The RBA has had to jack up rates primarily because of Canberra's crazy spending spree and its monster immigration intake, which have created excess demand and driven an entrenched cost of living crisis. The federal budget deficit is claimed to be $32 billion this year, but that is just the underlying number. The real headline deficit is forecast to be double that, or around $64 billion. So despite the inflation crisis, the pollies are pumping the economy with even more stimulus, which is exacerbating consumer price pressures. And so the ensuing price action has been ugly over the past 3 months. Melbourne and Sydney home values have been declining at annualised rates of about 10% and 12%, respectively. Nationally, dwelling prices have been falling at a 5.3% annualised pace over the same period. And so the bad news is that the great Aussie housing bust is accelerating. On the longer 6-month annualised basis, Sydney and Melbourne prices declined at a more modest, albeit still significant, 7% annual pace. And over this same interval, national prices were broadly stable. And Joy goes on to discuss the fact that the RBA will probably have to lift rates further because of government spending and government policy. And of course, there's a broader canvas here, which is worth thinking about, as I highlighted yesterday, because central bankers now saying, well, no rate cuts on the agenda for now, simply because the inflationary pulse is quite strong. The risks from the Middle East oil crisis are not over, and the second round effects and beyond are still there. In fact, the Reserve Bank, in their minutes that came out recently, did take account of the fact that there has been a tightening monetary policy, and that has started to be transmitted to the economy through various channels. They say conditions in the established housing market have softened and housing credit growth looks to slow in the period ahead. Well, slower credit growth means house prices probably down rather than up. And they go on to say that some market economists expect the cash rate to be increased again in 2026 because of the ongoing inflationary pressures. Others expect monetary policies remain on hold in 2026 and ease from the middle of 2027, given restrictive financial conditions currently, signs of a slowing in aggregate demand, and an anticipated decline in inflation. So they are already there talking about different scenarios. And I think the scenarios are quite important to understand. And by the way, there are consequences. So, for example, this slide from IFM using Cotality data shows that the dwelling turnover has really slid down, especially in the capital cities. And of course, Sydney and Melbourne leading the charge here. Regions a little stronger. Another way of looking at it is if you look at the dwelling price and income and inflation, you can see that the capital city dwelling prices have accelerated dramatically, started in the late 90s, compared to the CPI or indeed household incomes. And Alex Joyner goes on to say, well, you'd need to see prices come way back if you wanted it to actually marry the CPI number again. Dramatic falls, probably unlikely. But the time on market is definitely rising, as this chart shows. And of course, we've had significant momentum recently, but the most recent data as shown here again from Cotality, is that across Sydney and Melbourne in particular, but also in Brisbane and Adelaide and Perth too, the median time on market is rising. In other words, homes are not necessarily moving quickly. And that's a very significant factor, of course, because as more supply comes on, supply demand suggests that prices might well ease back. Certainly vendors are getting nervous and buyers are pulling back because they think they can buy cheaper later. Now, if you want more on the whole question of home price trends, check out my show. I put it up yesterday. I called it Down, Down. Some home prices are down because, of course, the data is showing that it's not equal across the country. And in fact, the absolute falls at the moment are relatively small. This is the chicken licking story, you know, just an acorn or something more. But it does take us quite nicely to the discussion of, well, so where could prices go from here? And that is the story, of course, of scenarios. Now, to talk about scenarios, let's just briefly remind you that we run a core market model. The core market model is essentially our key research instrument. It's driven by household surveys, 52,000 household surveys a year, and we run those on an ongoing basis. And we slice and dice the data lots of different ways to look at different dimensions, and that dimensionality then gets incorporated in our various shows. But we also talk about scenarios, where things may go ahead. And today that's my focus. Remind you, of course, that scenarios are ways of exploring different futures and to consider the consequences of those futures. It's not a forecast, but it's to facilitate understanding and debate. None of these scenarios will probably be right. Things change. But we do use the framework driven from our core market model. And then we look at what I call three potential outcomes, updated with the latest data and the results, and the scenarios are running forward from today. So let's look at those scenarios. The first scenario, now I've called this the best case scenario, but it's still a tough scenario. Rates stay at 4.35% until December 2027 and then drop. Inflation stays above target, that's the RBA target of 2-3%, until later in 2027, as their forecasts. Migration remains above average, more than 300,000 a year. First-time buyer activity still booms. We don't get a recession in Australia. We see a slowdown in wages below the level of inflation, but we see more government cash handouts, especially to first-time buyers and possibly to the construction sector. The base case, which I've called now the hard times scenario, is that we do see another rate rise, probably in September, to 4.6%, and the RBA holds there until inflation eases back in line with RBA expectations, which is to the end of 2027 to 2028. We see that wages rise, but slower than inflation. We see higher levels of unemployment. We get a recession in Australia, and migration falls to the longer-term average for the country, which will be significantly down from where it currently is and where it's expected to be the next couple of years. And the worst case scenario, the nightmare scenario, is that we see rate rises, but even higher, to 4.85%, because inflation steps up while unemployment rises and wages growth stalls. Later, rate cuts do come in, but migration drops below average. We get stagflation. And this is because of the ongoing issues, particularly in the Middle East around Hormuz, the ongoing transmission of those higher costs, and potentially the stagflation, meaning that we have both high interest rates and very low growth. So those are the three scenarios, reminding you again that these are just sensitivity scenarios. They're not predictions. So let's look at what this means. And the first one we're going to look at is the home price scenarios on average across the country. Now, let me just highlight the fact this is an aggregate bottom-up calculation. So some economists will do top-down modeling of scenarios and home prices. But what I do is I calculate the scenarios down at a postcode level, and then I roll the data up so that we can look at it at an aggregate level, whether that's a state level or whether it's an old Australia level. And so this particular story is the aggregate roll-up across Australia. Now, averages mask, of course, but it gives us a good place to start. And you can see here that if we look at houses first, In the best case scenario, over the next 3 years, I see a small amount of growth, but not a lot of growth. In the base case scenario, there would be a fall, probably around 13% over 3 years on average across the country. And the worst case scenario, hopefully the unlikely scenario, is a third off, 33% down over 3 years, being the most significantly worse scenario if everything goes absolutely pear-shaped. And remind you that if it dropped by 33%, that would still be higher than it was a generation or two ago relative to income. Units will tend to follow on, but actually, because of the different economics around units, they may not fall as far, with the best case maybe just slightly higher, the base case a fall of 12% over 3 years, and the worst case a fall of 29%, compared with 33% for houses. But of course, averages mask, so to get around that, we also look at individual areas of the country. In Western Australia, for example, if we look at the scenarios there, even in the best case scenario, we think home price growth will begin to ease, but will still grow. And we are thinking maybe 3% over the next, or maybe 4% over the next 12 months, and slightly more over the next 3 years. But in the base case, houses would be down 10% over 3 years. And in the worst case, they would be down 29% over 3 years. Units would tend to follow on, but once again, their falls would be a little less severe. In the base case, down 8% over 3 years, and units down 25%, worst case, over 3 years. We then go to Queensland, and there, in the best case, yes, there are rises ahead for houses, maybe 3% over the next 3 years, most of that growth over the next 12 months. In other words, a slowing over the next couple of years beyond that. In the base case scenario, we're down 11% over 3 years. And in the worst case, down 31% over 3 years, which will be a significant fall, but still house prices will be higher than they were 3 years ago. Units would tend to follow on, but again, what we find is that they don't fall quite as much. And that means that the unit baseline over 3 years will be down 9% or down 27% in the worst case. If we then turn to South Australia, another relatively strong market, we think that over the next 12 months, up 3.5% best case and 5.3% over 3 years. In the base case, down 9.3% over 3 years, and the worst case, down 29% over 3 years. And units would tend to follow on, with the fall in the base case down 8%. Looking at the Northern Territory, now this is a very small market, so these need to be taken with a bit of a pinch of salt. In the best case, we could see prices up 4% over the next 12 months and 11.4% over 3 years. In the base case, there's a fall of 3.3% over 3 years, which is not a huge amount. Most of that fall is next year or the year after. And in the worst case scenario, a fall of 23% with falls this year, next year, and the year after. And unit prices will tend to follow on, though interestingly, they don't fall quite as much, with the base level of unit prices down about 2.8% over 3 years, and units in the worst case down 20%. If we then look at the ACT here, even in the best case scenario, we think that there is going to be a bit of a drift down over the next 12 months, just 1.2%, but over 3 years down 6.5%. In the base case scenario, the fall could be down to 21% over 3 years, and the worst case down to 40% over 3 years. Units will tend to follow on in a somewhat similar fashion, but not fall as far, with baseline units down 18% and worst case down 35%. Switching then to New South Wales, and here in the best case scenario, sure, small rises over the next 12 months, but then falls beyond that to be down just a little over 3 years. But the base case scenario would be a fall of 15% over 3 years, and the worst case, a potential fall of around 35% over 3 years, and units, again, following on, somewhat similar, but the baseline scenario for units is down 13%, and the worst case down 30%. If we look at Victorian home prices here, the best case scenario is a fall of 2.3% over 3 years. The base case, a fall of 16.8% over 3 years. And the worst case, down 36% over 3 years. Units, again, following on, but not falling quite as much, with baseline units down 14.6% and, in the worst case, units down by 31.7% compared to 36.7% for houses. Now, another way of looking at this, just briefly, we can look at it across the segments. We won't do all the segments, but young growing families, these, of course, are households who have bought recently, a lot of first-time buyers, a lot of people on 5% deposits, and, well, potentially somewhat exposed. Even in the best case scenario, we are thinking that these families will see prices slide by around 5% over the next 3 years, which suggests that more people will be in negative equity, especially if they took those 5% or 2% government-backed mortgages. In the base case scenario, there's a fall of 19.6% over 3 years. And in the worst case scenario, a fall of 39.3% over 3 years, which would, of course, put a lot of households into deep negative equity. Units will tend to follow on with a 4.4% drop over 3 years. The baseline is a fall of 17% over 3 years, and the worst case scenario is a fall of 34.1%. Now, let me say again, these are just sensitivity analyses. This is not a prediction, but it shows you how sensitive housing prices are to these external drivers: interest rates, migration, government policy, inflation, all of those things. And we are, I think, going to see significant downturns ahead, because I don't believe that inflation is under control at the moment. I don't believe that government spending is under control at the moment. And I don't think government policy is under control at the moment. Now, as we come towards the end of the show, I will just remind you, of course, that we do this analysis at individual postcode levels. And in fact, here is an example of the analysis that we do at the postcode level. This is the old favourite of Wollongong, one I know very, very well. And you can see in this example, we can track the number of households in this particular postcode, with a lot of renting, of course, in this particular one. We can track the amount of mortgage stress that's going on in the postcode, which is actually quite significant at the moment, particularly amongst the rental sector, with 73% of households in rental stress. We can look at the property mix. Here we've got more units than houses in postcode 2500. We can also look at things like, for example, the people ratio. So how many people are individuals, families, or just couples on average? We've got the vacancy rate data from the recent census back in 2021. The gross investment yield, in other words, what investors are experiencing here, what returns are they making relative rental to prices, and also the net investment yield, how much in real terms are investors actually earning or not on an annualized cash flow basis, and at the moment they're losing money. Also, we've got taxable income data from the ATO. This is updated now for the tax year 23-24, came out recently. And you can see here, on average, this particular postcode has a taxable income of around $92,000, according to the ATO. The census back in 2021 reported households' income at $84,000. That gives us a disposable monthly income just over $6,000, with 40.9% of that disposable monthly income going to pay the mortgage. That is very, very high. And typical rent takes about a third of that disposable monthly income. Very high again. And finally, yes, we can look at the scenarios. And here you can see this in this particular postcode. We expect, even in the best case scenario, more price falls for houses and units. In the baseline scenario, more significant falls, down 16% over 3 years for houses and 14.4% down for units. And in the worst case scenario, down 36.3% over 3 years, or 32.1% for units over that period. And in fact, this information is available for more than 2,000 postcodes across the country. And as I said, on Tuesday coming up, we will dive into particular postcodes if you'd like to join the show and ask about specific postcodes. Now, I will just make the point, if you're interested in grabbing the data set, because of course you can compare and contrast different postcodes and there are quite different results, you can do that via our Patreon program, and thank you for all of those who support us via Patreon. And in fact, to get a copy of the DFA mortgage stress data, it's 50, that's US dollars a month plus GST, and it's available by signing up at Patreon. And I update the model every month and I send it out to all of those on the Patreon program. Subscribe at this tier. And more broadly, there are a range of membership levels available on Patreon. And I want to thank all of those who support us via the Patreon program, because it makes a huge difference to us being able to do what we do, not for profit, but because there are costs involved in doing all this analysis and basically trying to highlight what's really going on down on the ground. So that's pretty much it for this show. I hope that you found this a useful discussion, specifically around the sensitivities that are there, and particularly around some of the political drivers that are creating some of the pressures and problems that we actually have in the market at the moment. Yep, a lot of it is to do with government policy as well as more broad things. Now, on Sunday, I'm going to release the results of our deep dive stress results, and that will give you a sense of how stress is traveling across the country at the moment, which states and territories are the worst impacted, and also what are some of the underlying observations that we can make based on that. And then on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Sydney, we'll talk postcodes. And join us for that show where you can ask live about particular postcodes. Bottom line is this. I think this is indeed a once-in-a-generation property price storm. I do think property prices are going to fall, although how far and how fast is yet to be determined. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.